stuff?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm gonna mute the mics.
Powder in the mix.
Can I hear the make you my temperature rise? You leave me a good day, I swear. You are like the oxygen I need to survive.
Yeah.
touching it, catch thing, I'm revving it, flinging it, swinging it, wine on it, give me the thing, time of your life, every time I ride on the bike, time of your life, now you are linking.
This is deep.
Grand Rising, beautiful people. Welcome to the Empower Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and broadcasting live every Sunday on the OLC, IG, and Facebook at the Empower Hour Radio. Now, for the next 2 hours, this squad is going to entertain, enlighten, and empower y'all. Today's show is brought to you by CKUT, the OFC, Solo Drum, and the Caribbean Curry House. Don't forget to mention the Empower Hour and enjoy 10% off of your next meal. I'm Queen Kaya, joined today by Pharaoh Hammond Freeman and Gina the Great. But before we do anything else, like always, we're going to bless this show and our kings and queens that are listening.
Ah, blessed, melanated, rising, my people. I hope you're having an exceptional day. I am so grateful to life. I'm grateful to God, our creator, and I'm grateful to the ancestors for making it possible for us to be able to be on here this morning. And as to today's show, let it be educational for those who are listening. Let it be entertaining for those who are listening. And most importantly, let it be empowering to all our listeners. And I'm just sending out the spirit of love, light, unity, health, positivity. I feel like I want to send out more. Let me see. Patience. There, yes. Hotep, amen, and ashe. Yes. That is the energy. Grand Rising, Gina the Great.
Grand Rising. I had to ask for a little patience put into that because let me just get right into how my week's gone.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were trying to rush the Lord, but okay, go ahead.
No, never
you
know, that.
The energy.
Always on time.
Takes
always
time. On time. Okay, got you, got you.
Yeah, all day. Because since last week, I'm sure you guys noticed a bit throughout the recording, there's a lot of clearing of the throat and stuff like that. So I've been going through a little bit of stress in the last few weeks.
Talk about it.
And it's been manifesting physically in my body, and so there was a lot of acid reflux, a lot of situations like that, and created a post-nasal drip now at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sweet, I thought it was COVID. Good, I'm glad. Go ahead, it's not COVID.
No,
awesome.
It's not COVID. Not to say that I'd rather it be, but it's been quite annoying. So, like, I'm on antacids right now, and so, you know, let me just let y'all know. It's a lot better, but there's still a lot of post-nasal drips, so there will be clearing of the throat. That'll be my guess for today's show.
So, can you kind of talk about it? What's creating the stress?
All right. Well, there's some that I can and some that I can't talk about. But the stuff that I can talk about is, it's partially good things at the end of the day. But anyone who's gone through any types of renovations know the stress that comes around there. So, like, I'm out of my house, guys. I'm kicked out of my house.
Boy.
Because I only have one bathroom and I'm renovating the bathroom.
Oh,
you know?
God.
And I said, look, as long as you get the toilet, like, set, once you get that toilet, I'll come back in my house. I don't care. I do toilet, you know what
Yo,
I mean?
Yo, bucket bed.
Bucket bed all day.
How you mean? Shout out to bucket beds.
But you can't be in a house without a toilet. You know what I mean?
Mind you, bucket bed only works in warm climates, I find, because, yo, cold bucket bed is...
No, but I'm in my house. I could boil some water. What are you
True.
Talking about?
True, and turn on the heat in the bathroom. Right.
100%. Mm, I won't even be able to bucket bed in the bathroom. Mm. It's got to be bird bath in the kitchen. Anyway, whatever it is.
Anyways, yeah, sorry.
Whatever it is. So, anyway, so there's the stress of those renos, not being in my space in my home, so living out of a bag and going back to my mom's place.
Shout out Janine. Sorry.
Do you know what it's like going back to your parents' house after 10 years?
Yeah. No, I don't, but damn.
I never left,
but go ahead.
But it's the different routines. You know, when I wake up in the morning, it's nice and quiet in my house. Mm. That's not the case. That's not the case at all. Wow. And my mom has this thing, right? So her alarm goes off in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. I never wake up at that time.
Wow.
But it goes off at 6 o'clock in the morning and she doesn't hear it. And I can hear a pin drop to wake me up. My alarm is like...
Like Amazon.
So any other alarm rips me out of my dreams. Hadoukits me in the face.
Into this reality life. Like, God...
I feel like my heart's out of my chest. I'm like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And who's here?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, right, I'm not home.
Right. I'm here.
Mm-mm. And so there's that. And then, of course, because I feel like I must be a bit of a sadist and masochist because I'm also moving mm-hmm. next month into a new build. And so then there's the move that I have to deal with that. There's the finding the tenant for my place currently.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all the monies that come out of your account.
Yes.
For both the renos and the final payments for the place.
Good, good.
So, you know, these are all good things.
Yes, yes. No, these are rich people problems. Like, you know, so yes, it's a good problem to have.
You know, like, it's good, but it's still stressful.
Yes, I'm with you on that one.
So, yeah. So, what I'm trying to do is get more sleep. Mm-hmm. I've increased my sleep by about 30 minutes a week on average, thanks to the Fitbit that tells me how many hours I sleep.
Nice.
And I'm really trying to bring that another half an hour to be a full rest. Cause that
and to do that, you're going to sleep earlier or you're waking up later?
I'm going to sleep earlier.
Okay.
And I'm also falling asleep with, like, the rain sounds.
Mm.
Right? So I'm trying to meditate just so to clear mind.
Well, does it make you want to pee? No?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Interesting.
I'm just trying to – you just clearing the mind before you go to sleep, just have restful sleep from that standpoint.
Oh.
So I'm doing a little bit of that and also just – protecting my peace, like, you know. So the other part that I'm not going to talk about is where I'm just like, all right, well, we're just gonna have to do some rearrangements of life and how you deal with certain people so that you can protect your peace. And, you know, it's harder in some instances than others, but I'm gonna do what I gotta do there.
Yeah, I commend you on that. I had forgotten that I wanted a weekly update on your boyfriend, but
first of all, I have no boyfriend.
Well, I don't know, because you mentioned on the radio a couple of weeks ago that you're dating and it's going really well.
Yeah, I'm dating.
Yeah, I know, and you said it went really well, so I thought I was every week I'm really excited. I put it in my notes that I wanted updates.
Just scratch it out because right now I don't have time.
Okay, you're busy. Yeah,
sorry guys, no update, and then there probably won't be any updates for the upcoming weeks. I got other things that I'm doing.
So it didn't go that well. Okay, we talk about it off here.
Farrah, how was your week?
So basically, well, I'm up there with you with the stress. I'm still trying to battle all kind of different physical ailments that I'm getting due to stress. So apparently now it's my sciatic, and it's so funny. I figure it's karma because I keep laughing at people when they talk about the sciatic. now I'm like, oh, I think it's my sciatic.
A sciatic nerve hit.
Yo,
different.
It really does. But the thing is very weird because it's like I could really say it's stress induced. Like depending on what I'm doing and depending on where my mind is at, like it starts to hurt. And I'm like, yo, this is wild. Like I'll just stop what I'm doing, start doing something else, and it stops. I'm like, yo, this is so crazy. So anyway, so this is one of my weekly challenges. I'll keep you guys posted. I've been trying all kind of different stretching. Next week I'm gonna go check out actually a new member of the OFC who is a chiropractor?
Osteo.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, so I'm going to check him out next week. I'll keep you guys posted on how that goes. But, you know, fingers crossed. Aside from that, cool things coming up. I'm really excited. My 18-year-old or 17-year-old is about to celebrate his black mitzvah. And I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be great.
I'm sorry. I thought black mitzvah was at 13. There's multiple?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, of course, especially when you create the black mitzvah. We could actually pretty much, you know, have it whenever we want. That's the awesome part about it.
You're right.
Yeah, that's, you know, these are the things, guys. Again, if you're listening right now, my encouragement to everybody is just be originators of stuff.
So for the people,
yes.
Can you explain what a black mitzvah is?
Definitely. So basically everybody knows the term of a bat mitzvah or a bar mitzvah, where it's like a coming of age. So we basically took the term, I think we took it from Tiffany Haddish, who had her own black mitzvah. I think she had a special on Netflix. And I was like, oh, this is a great idea. But then we took it next level. And then we started our own coming of age for the young boy. Well, right. We started with young boys in the community. And I'm coming to realize that actually we need to do it for the young girls, too. Right?
The young girls.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely young girls in the community. But it's a coming of age where we make it a point to... one, we have the youth read a book, Secrets of a Millionaire Mind. They read that book. We have them meet with different community leaders and mentors in the community. Oh, and actually our guest that's on with us today, we had him meet with one of our, with our black mitzvah candidate. I don't know if that's what you call them, but you know, our black mitzvah youth coming up.
Celebrator?
Whatever, you guys know what I mean. The youth that's now going through his black mitzvah met with our guest that's going to be with us today. So it's going to be exceptional. We'll dive in, see what his perspective was. But anyway, so we have to meet with different community leaders, different mentors to ask different questions, get different insight in terms of life. We have to meet with a spiritualist to understand, again, who they are on a spiritual level. And all this, they have to compile into a report. And then they present that report to the community.
I remember that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I remember that.
They present the report, and in that report, they explain, like, you know, what they learned, how they're going to apply it to their lives, and what their plans are for the future. And then, basically, like anything else, the community comes together. We put some funds in our envelope, and we bless the youth and give them a little seed moving to move forward in life with, you know. And yeah, I'm really excited. I'm excited. It's just one for having this inspiration to create this initiative for our youth. I pray other community people or families listening to this adopt it. And if you guys want more information, please do not hesitate to reach out. It'd be my pleasure to share our blueprints. I want to take a quick little shout out. Give a shout out to my niece, Nefertari, back L. She just turned 13. Shout out, Nefi. That's my gunshot for today.
Should she be your first black mitzvah female?
Right. It technically her birthday passed, but because we make up the rules, technically it might not matter. I got to talk because it's one thing. She's my niece. It's not something you want to impose on a parent or whatever be the case. So I have to speak to the parent. I have to speak to her as well, see if she's interested. But I would love it. If not, then for sure it's going to be phenomenal. Right? My daughter.
True.
She's coming up in 2 years. She's actually, no, one more. She's 12 this year, eh? Lord have mercy. Anyway, so that'll be next. As we're on the topic of youth, and I'm going to conclude my little segment with this. There was this past week, we heard about a youth that went missing. The youth went missing and he was found, right? But in that interim, while he went missing, it brought up a lot of concern for people in the community. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be really cool if, as a community, we had our own community watch, you know, where amongst the community, like almost like we have our own internal Amber Alert kind of thing, because apparently what I came to understand while we were finding out more about this situation is that the police don't really get involved until the person has been missing for like 24 hours. This is what I'm coming to understand. So
yeah, but I think the Amber Alerts, I think they send out Amber Alerts if you have like information about, so you know when we get those and you see it says, okay, it's children this, that, and age, mm-hmm, in a car wearing this,
right,
and they know of a person that they're suspecting.
Right.
I think that's what gets into the Amber Alert itself.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there are probably many other cases of all types of different youths that go missing that we don't hear about, and now we're relying on social media.
You're right.
To have to find out about it.
And that's it. And so, the ideal, and you're absolutely right with that, like, the ideal would be if, as a collective, when something like this happens, if we had like our own stream, our own hotline, and not to knock social media, because social media does work,
yes,
but it would be awesome if it was like an organized effort where it's like, okay, you know, this information came down the pipeline and we're all on alert and we're all looking out for each other and we're all looking out for our youth and stuff like that. I think it's something that it's like, these are little, I say little things, but they can have a huge impact just in terms of peace of mind also as a parent to know that you're part of this type of collective.
Well, you know, back in the 80s and 90s when we were younger, like I remember them setting up that whole neighborhood watch, and it was, mm-hmm, about neighbors like paying attention to what's going on in the streets.
Yeah.
Now we need to digitize that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, we're in a new era, and we need to figure out how to bring that into the 2022. So
facts. So, you know, so I told myself I would bring it up today because I think it would be just, you know, to start the conversation, to plant the seeds in the minds of parents. You know, like, and if it's something you guys are interested in, you want to deep dive in, reach out to the OFC because it's something we're looking to develop. Right now we're working on setting up a youth group. Remember back going to church, we had youth
Fridays.
Yes.
Bible studies for
youth. Exactly. Thank you. Studies. Minus the Bible study part. But we're thinking about just getting the... No, there's nothing about the Bible. For those who are in it, I'm all for that too. But it's just that this is not the objective of this. This is really to create the space, again, for youth to get together, to start to get to know each other. Mm-hmm. And even as us, as parents, to see some of these other youth in the community. You know what I mean? Just to be able to plant these seeds. Because it's just... I don't know. I just find that as we're growing and we're getting busier and time is flying by and we're all getting distracted, we're losing that sense of community and that sense of, yes, connectedness.
Well, especially with the pandemic, I think not only the youths have lost it, but we as a people, even we who grew up in the days of going outside and playing in the park, like, I don't even know how to communicate with people anymore. And like, I'm like, you want to meet in person? You want to just link up on a Zoom?
Right.
Like a FaceTime thing? But speaking of, mm-hmm, I went out to dinner on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was outside.
It's like they couldn't wait to get free.
Yo, so because y'all know, right? So Saturday, the rules were out the window.
Okay, I wasn't aware, but thank you.
No more capacities. No more Vax Pass. No more clubs were open. Bars are open. Karaoke. Y'all can sing again. Wow. Y'all can dance again.
Bless. Okay, well, good stuff.
So I was having a celebratory dinner because my friend's starting a new job. Nice. And I'm like, okay, so I go, bring. Hi, can I get a reservation now that everyone can eat in restaurants again? Yeah, sure. So we have 5:45 or 8:45. I'm like, so.
Oh.
When I want to eat at a normal hour, that's not available.
Early or late, my friend.
Right. So took the 8:45.
Yeah, of course. Grown people shit, right?
When I got there, circled the block a couple of times for some parking, obviously.
She took the metro.
Never. Sorry. Whoops. No, there's nothing wrong with the metro. It's just that 8:45 on a Saturday, I'm not doing it.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. And then so every restaurant I seen packed to capacity, which is nice. So I'm like, life's getting back.
Yeah.
But what I did see, too, in the restaurant... Mm-hmm. My girl, one patron was there with a spaghetti strap dress, about mid thigh long. I was just like, "Is this summer?"
I was like, "Wait, spaghetti strap?"
Because you skipped the spring dress. You went straight to the. I was like,
turning
okay, up.
She's turning up. Exactly.
And then I got flashbacks to my youth because then there's people waiting for in line up for the club with no jackets. You know when you left the jackets in the car.
People are still doing that?
Yeah, but you know what? I started saying that too. I was like, yo, you know what though? When I was 19 and that $2 check-in meant a dwank.
Stop.
I went to spend the money on a dwank. You left the jacket in the car, but you know what I didn't do? Lines. Never waited for the line.
Yo, that's facts.
So you just a walk-through. And then the other creme de la creme that I saw, girl had this strappy heel sandal. I'm like, but it's real snow out here. And ice. So it was quite the revelation.
We should just applaud those heroes. I don't know who just want to be out just doing the most. That's your shout out to them.
You better than me.
Yo, facts. But as you just said, so they're going out, they're turning up, they're spending money. As you guys know, this is Money Making March. So we're talking all kind of money this month.
Yep.
So last week, what did we talk to you last week, Gina?
We spoke about crypto.
Crypto. Oh my gosh. Did we ever get all kind of good positive reviews? Big shout out to Matthew for crypto last week. This week we're talking real estate. Guys, again, I'm going to say you're welcome in advance. No, you know me. I just figure it's just this type of information, guys. Like you can't. Well, technically you could pay for it, but it's a lot of money. It's very expensive for the information you're going to learn today. So make sure you have your paper and pen. We have an exceptional guest in studio with us today who's going to enlighten us, educate us, inspire us, and get us excited about investing, period. Investing in real estate, collectively investing. Just, you know, we're going to learn all kinds of different things. We're going to ask tons of questions so that you guys can be educated. So before we dive in with our guest, we'll take a quick moment and dive into our quick little musical break, and we'll be back.
And I looking for me. Tell him I want my money, yeah, want my money, yeah, right now. Tell him I need my money, I need my money, yeah, right now. Cause I want to be rich like I live in Dubai. Everybody got to live so nice. Can you have your money and I have mine, oh. I want to be rich like I live in Dubai. Everybody got to live so nice. Can you have your money and I have mine. Sell your soul for money, no. Don't live your whole life seeking vanity car. Money can make you happy, but money is a necessity. And I know I'm too important to ever remain a poor man. So tell them bring all my money for me, for me. Tell the athlete I'm looking for me. He not transferred and I'm looking for me. Tell him I want my money, yeah, I want my money, yeah, right now. Tell him I need my money, yeah, I need my money, yeah, right now. Cause I want to be rich like I live in Dubai. Everybody got to live so nice. Can you have your money and I have mine, mine, oh. I want to be rich like I live in Dubai. Everybody got to live so nice. Can you have
hustle money up you make. Poor man made to suffer, rich man to eat cake. So which road do you take? Get to live to be down. Put some shoes in your pocket, cause your money must run. Yeah.
I know I do it better to ever remain a poor man. So tell them bring all my money for me, for me. Tell him I want my money, yeah, I want my money, yeah, right now. Tell him I need my money, I need my money, yeah, right now.
Cause I want to be rich like I live in Dubai. Everybody got to live so nice. Cause you have your money and I have mine, mine, oh.
I want to be rich like I live in Dubai. Everybody got to live so nice. Cause you have your money and I have mine, mine.
Boost your business's bottom line by adopting new digital strategies and technologies. Get access to expert advice and apply for up to $15,000 in grants at canada.ca/digital-adoption. A message from the Government of Canada.
Yes. Ah, this is a Soca day, guys. Yo, so first we're at the top of the show. Big shout out to DJ Powda. He is our Prime Minister of Soca. So thank you for that amazing mix. You guys just check out DJ Powda on everything. I think he's also on Twitch. And that was a mix from, sound like Marshall Montano. No, it wasn't.
Second
who? Second Star. Oh, Star. Oh, you see these names. So it's not Powder, it's Powda. And it's not Star, it's Star. What's the name of the song?
Dubai.
Good, guys. Yeah, I could have prepared that before.
You could
but
have.
Hey, I was enjoying the tune. I don't know. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to mention it. So we're talking money. So Gina, we're talking real estate. First of all, Gina, what do you know about real estate? How's your real estate game and what's happening on your side?
Listen, mine is a constant learning. 10 years ago, I purchased my first condo. And boy, if I knew then what I know now, it would have been a hell of a lot easier.
Okay.
But you know, learning curves, and it's great. And one thing I want to say too is that once upon a time I used to think that, oh, well, if you have the money to pay the rent, why don't you just take that same money and pay it on the mortgage?
Mm-hmm.
Not that simple, Gina.
Okay.
You know, when you're young, ignorance is bliss.
Right,
ignorance
facts.
Is really, really bliss. Because then when you realize that you have, I don't know, municipal and school taxes, welcome taxes, cost of ownership.
Just like that, you're owner, you pay more.
Cost of ownership.
Yeah, no,
it's sorry. Not the same thing.
Facts.
So, I remember talking to one of my colleagues back in the day. I was just like, oh, why don't you just buy? She's just like, I can't afford to buy. I was like, well, you're paying rent, you can afford to buy. No, dummy. It's not that simple. It takes preparation. Mm-hmm. It takes all of these things. And hey, thank God I went through it, and it's good, and it's been good since.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to know what you want, what you can put up with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, condos means that you're multiple owners.
Mm-hmm.
A house means like there's a whole lot more that you are responsible for on your own, or you and the unit you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Multiplexes is a whole other thing, and then commercial is a whole other thing too. And there's so much out there for it. And I'm glad I did what I did. I bought it for just like me living in purposes at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it took about 10 years because we talk about investments, and I've always looked at like, no, I want the investments that give me that quick money back now.
Right. Yeah.
Because every time I heard about investing in real estate, I'm like, okay, but that's the money that you're getting in like 10, 15, 20, 25 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's not going to make me eat right now.
Right.
That was a little short-sighted.
Yeah.
But luckily, because I made this purchase with different intentions,
mm-hmm.
now I'm able to go back into that. Oh no, like we're ready to really invest into the real estate and have that generational wealth. Cause you don't think about generational wealth when you're in your 20s.
Yep. And that's 20s, a setback for a lot of us.
Yeah.
Gina, well said. So basically
what you know about it?
Yeah, not much, guys. So let me just tell you guys. So I've had a cool experience. My wife and I, like a little bit after we got married, I can't really remember exactly now. How long have we been married now? 15 years or so. Somewhere in between there, we bought a cottage.
Mm-hmm.
Exception. And first, I got
St. Clair, Curly, Miramar.
Who?
St. Clair, Carmen de Murmur, far.
Oh, I'm like, what area was that in? I didn't even know. Like, that's not where I live. But anyway, so the point is, it's far, right? But the thing is, it sets the investment. First of all, going through that process of being able to make the purchase and stuff like that, like you just said, it was a learning experience, right, for us. But the joy of what we did is, like, it's like having that asset was huge. Not to mention that our property, like, we have about a half an acre, right? So we have a lot of land, like, we have space, right? Compared to, like, when you go to people's houses in the city, no one has that kind of space.
acre.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's just what it is. And it just gives us different freedom. Now, we also had the advantage of the fact that, hey, like, we're busy. My wife and I were busy. And so we were in the city a lot. So we rented out the cottage. And we had other people paying the mortgage for a long time. It was awesome. People were renting for Airbnbs, put on different events, parties, all kind of different things. Yo, we have space. So now let's fast forward. We have the OFC, and now we've recently, when I say recent, it's about 3 years, right? We created an investment group. And the whole purpose of the investment group was for us to recreate a whole Black Wall Street. Now, it's awesome. We, from within this investment group, we raised roughly about $40,000. Mm-hmm. Dope. But this is where it got real, because having the money is not it. It's not. We came in very green. Like, yo, we just need to raise some bread, put money down, buy some real estate, keep it popping. No, I'm so grateful for people like Rodney, who's here to share this wisdom with us, because it was real. Like, it was such a learning curve, like, to the point where we're still, like, we went through so many loops trying to buy this. Like, we went through trying to buy different things, commercial buildings, come to understand the reality of buying a commercial building as a collective. There's just all kind of different realities that come into play. Then while we're going through this whole adventure, COVID hit. So then the investment, now mind you, I gotta give thanks to life, because some of the investments we were making were contingent on space. Like, when we were buying a hall, that was our first investment, was a hall. Boy, would we ever lost all kind of funds,
right? Yep.
Because we couldn't do anything with the hall. So I'm grateful to that. Then our other investment we were getting into was a duplex, or a trip, yeah, a duplex at the time. And the plan was to rent it out to students and different things like that. And yeah, that would have been canned as well, because we had all kind of, like, we were banking on international students needing a place. Anyways, all kind of, just to say, we recently just said, okay, you know what? We're just going to buy something simple. We're just going to buy land. We're just going to buy something that where the community could be able to come together and say, look, we own this asset as a collective, and let's benefit from the fact that people want to get out of the city. So we're still actively going through that process. And just to tell you guys, it has been an uphill battle. But every day we're learning. It's been a good experience, because the knowledge that we have learned as a collective has been exceptional. But knowing, like you had just mentioned, knowing the fact that as a collective we've been able to amass some capital to be able to have something that we own that we can hand off to the next generation, that is really why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. So now I'm hoping today, with the information that we're learning from our amazing guests that's with us today, is that we're able to just have a couple more nuggets that we could, add to our pool of knowledge to be able to bring us to that next level. So that's kind of my experience with real estate. So I've been alluding to our amazing guests that we have in studio. So we have the one and only Rodney Jean with us. Rodney, welcome. Ah!
Thank you.
Remind welcome. Me, I got to get those clap sound effects.
I was going to say, but they're there.
I know.
You just got to play them.
You got to play them, because yeah. The dry hand claps just doesn't do it for people anymore. But Rodney, welcome to the Empower Hour.
Welcome.
Thank you for being here. Good. Nice. So let's dive right in. So first off, let's talk about you a little bit, Rodney. Let's give a little bit about your background. Who are you?
Me? Where do I start? I mean, I have a story that connects to a lot of people in our generation. Mm-hmm. My parents were born in Haiti. I'm born and raised in Montreal North. First generation Quebecois,
mm-hmm.
right? So my parents that are now divorced bought a duplex in Montreal North in the 80s.
Okay.
All right. So years passed. My mom kept the house. It was a hard struggle for her, right? Okay. And then that day she calls me. I'm 18 and she's like, Rodney, I'm done. I'm graduating from the hood. I'm going to Laval.
Okay.
Ooh, yes.
I'm graduating.
All right. That's amazing, mom. Yes. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing with the duplex?
Mm-hmm.
My mom's like, man, I'm so tired of this duplex. I'm going to sell it. Everybody else is telling me, just sell it. I'm going to build a house in Laval. So I'm like, mom, I like your dream of building, but why you want to sell? Mm-hmm. You know? She's like, because I don't want the trouble. Mm. Mom, please don't sell.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know why I told her that, because mm-hmm. I thought it was the smart thing to do. Right. Usually when you think you're saying smart things, you actually don't.
Yeah. Mm, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was actually a good
Gina
one.
Gina knows what you mean. Gina knows exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Shots fired.
Yeah. No, no. Go
no, ahead. Yeah, because I'm an intelligent person, and half the times I have to tell Pharaoh about things, and he doesn't listen.
No, see.
He doesn't
anyways,
need.
You see, Gina,
and then
Gina
after,
has, anyways,
and after he's like, "Oh yeah, you were right."
Gina just sure. can't take. Anyways, go no, ahead. Sometimes. Sorry, Rodney. The floor is yours. I don't know. Gina had to dive right in. Go ahead.
Feisty morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Listen. All right.
You know? Go ahead. Go ahead,
so,
welcome to the team, Rodney.
Yes.
Welcome
all right. So, I told my mom not to sell, and she didn't sell. She got her house in Laval, great house. She kept the duplex in Montreal North. And fast forward, because I'm not 18 no more.
Mm-hmm.
You fast forward, and my mom has a house that's fully paid. She's retired.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the main situations when your parent sits you down and tells mm-hmm. you about their plan that mm-hmm. affects you and your life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to sit down and agree on what's the next move.
Right.
I'm not going to a new country and restart everything like you did.
Right.
Right. So there's certain things that we need to be put on
yes.
that, you know, it's a brand new reality.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my friends.
Shout out to your mom who decided to talk to her children about yeah. that before just being like, "Hey guys, by the way, we're out of here in 90 days. I sold the house."
Yeah, communication.
Big shout out to your mom for that.
Generational communication.
Yeah, big time. Yes,
seriously.
Yes. Necessary.
Because for us, it would have been like, "Yo, by the way, we're going to live here now."
I done sold the house. Like, wow.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shout out to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out.
Facts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and she told me, "Well, you know what, Rodney, you have a daughter,
mm-hmm.
right? My first grandkid. So, you know, I want to give you some money to help you buy a house."
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, I'm like, "Man, mom, this is dope."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then you're looking at the market and you're like, whoa,
it's not that dope.
I thought my money was gonna stretch longer.
Yeah.
So we had to really sit down and the conversation where it started. It's where a lot of investors actually start is, where am I going? What's my goal?
Mm.
Right, and that question can sound a little. Yeah, what's your goal? You know, a lot of people try to goal set and whatnot, but this mm-hmm. is a lot deeper.
Right.
Because you have to get to know what type of investor you are, because there's different type of risk appetite that is associated with the type of investment that you could have and that you would want to have. So mm-hmm. obviously in real estate, there's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of different scenarios and directions you can go, but it's really about what you want and your real personality. So now what you believe and why you want to, the why behind everything
mm-hmm.
is also extremely, extremely important. So for me, just saying, "Hey, I want to set my mom, make sure she's good."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? "Oh, yeah, mom, let's just buy and we'll rent it out." Yeah, no, not enough.
Yes.
Right?
School
quick
us.
Search.
School us.
Mm-hmm. Quick search. "Hey, yeah, somebody can help this with this. No, not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And what is power? My dad has been in the educational system,
mm-hmm.
and he made a career out of that. So for me, education is gold and power.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. I went back to the roots of, man, what do we know? What do we not know that the others know?
That no.
You know, because
that part.
That transition between leaving Haiti and coming to Montreal, I mean, there's some knowledge that, you know,
yep.
was just not accessible. So now I decided to invest in education.
And
this was a game changer.
Mm.
Game changer. Whatever you thought you knew or you thought you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, follow this. Call this person and do that. The first thing and where everything starts is you have to get to know yourself.
Mm.
Right? Now, I read this. You guys know Robert Kiyosaki?
Rich Dad Poor Dad? Is that him?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So he also has this quadrant.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The Robert Kiyosaki quadrant.
Okay. You guys Google that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the quadrant will be four parts. You'll have on the left upper part the E for employee.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Under that, you'll have the S for small business.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the quadrant at the top, you'll have the B for big business.
Mm-hmm.
And under that, you'll have the I for investor.
Mm.
So what I thought was extremely important is that we all are in one of those categories.
Mm-hmm. Vivipa.
Vivipa.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're an E, an employee,
mm-hmm.
but you're mentally somewhere else.
Right, yeah.
Right? So, mm-hmm. But the mental aspect is the most important, not where your current position is at, right?
Okay.
Because if you don't have enough money to invest or do any big business, you need to keep your job.
Right, yeah.
Stay an employee.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the mindset has to be different for you to actually be somewhere different. And the key thing that Robert actually brought up on these quadrants is that the employee, the mindset of an employee wants security. That's the first thing they want the most important thing. Mm-hmm. So, hey, if you can give me a little money when I retire and make sure that job is going to stay there for next, right? But a lot of the E's are main goals for anyone who comes from poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Will want to be an E.
Yep.
Just you could be a good E. You could be a bad E.
Mm-hmm.
But an E, an employee.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So the employee wants security, trades his time for money. And time cannot be, you can't have more time. Meaning in a day, it's 24 hours for everyone.
That's it.
So at one point, you're kind of capped on the amount of exchange you can do with your time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the E will give anything for security.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't mind.
Yep. The sacrifice. Right? Yeah.
The sacrifice. Now, the E gets taxed the most.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about
and
it.
There's a and it's the populace of they generate, they work for, they do a lot, they get a lot of stress,
mm-hmm.
they don't dream much because they work for someone else. It's right. always in a specific, you know, like hey, don't dream too much. You're an E,
mm-hmm.
be a great employee, and guess what? We're giving you security.
Yep.
Right? Under that is where Farrell, you and I met. I mm-hmm. was a pure S, mm-hmm. small business.
Mm-hmm.
I was a personal trainer working for myself. Mm-hmm. I was like, screw being a E.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pure, I'm going to rule the world by doing my S thing, right?
Right, yep.
But the S thing is funny because if you personally do not work that day, mm-hmm. everything stops.
Yeah. Yep.
So if you have a bakery with your name on it, and mm-hmm. you're the cashier, and you're the baker,
mm-hmm.
that day you're sick, I mean, everything goes down.
Yes.
You still get taxed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what you exchange for your time, because now it's you're giving all kinds of time. You know, you're not even counting it. You're not punching in, punching out. You're working clockwork. Stress is high.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, it is hard to leave anything
facts
to your kids. And when you say building wealth, mm-hmm. it's tough.
And a lot of times your children have been watching you struggle and they're like, I don't want your business.
I don't want
your business. And you're like, man.
It's crazy because and you say that because a lot of people will say like, oh, I don't want to do that 9-to-5. I don't want to work for the man. Like I want my freedoms. And then when you do your small business, there is no 9-to-5.
Yeah, you become the man and you're working 15 hours.
Yeah, there's midnight to midnight.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And if you're lucky, you can sleep in between.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the on the other side of the quadrant,
mm-hmm.
at the top, you'll have the B. The B will be big business. Mm-hmm. Now, the main difference between big business and the two first section of the quadrant will be you'll be very tax aware.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. You're very tax aware.
Yep.
I do speak about taxes because a lot of people don't know how important taxes are.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
The other thing about a big business mindset is that you want to create systems.
Yes.
Now, a system is something that can run without you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
you value your time so much, you're almost a little lazy in a sense where I don't want to do the work.
And I think it's you're smart.
I know. It's like, you say lazy, I'm like,
that sounds like lazy. That's that work smarter. Not harder.
Right. Yes. Please. Yes. You know what I mean? Because building systems is not easy. I can tell you, I'm in this world right now. Mm-hmm. It ain't easy. All right, cool.
It ain't easy.
All right.
And the minute the system is rolling, mm-hmm. then you get back your time.
Yeah.
And you can actually work at the direction of the big business instead of, right?
Yeah.
Instead of the day-to-day.
Exactly, yes.
And again, they're tax aware.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very close to their accountant. Very mm-hmm. close to their fiscalist will tell you, hey, listen, this is how you do not get taxed that much.
Because
the first trouble is actually gaining and getting money.
Right, yep.
The minute you get money, the next day you're thinking, how do I keep it?
Exactly. Yep.
It's so in that, and out. That day of you celebrating because you made it, mm-hmm. the next day right away, it's like IRA tax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like when you buy your house and the welcome tax comes in.
Exactly.
Welcome.
Yes.
You guys remember?
Message.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, in that quadrant, again, the big business will work at system, get himself out, and be very tax aware, and will be able to say, hey, listen, it's not about my ego driving
mm-hmm.
this
mm-hmm.
compared to the S,
right.
who wants to put his face on a t-shirt, and mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to put your face on a t-shirt, please go ahead,
mm-hmm.
right? And the
mm-hmm.
I. Mm-hmm. So the I, again, on that side of the quadrant, you're always tax aware.
Mm.
That's the number one thing. And being aware and being able to pay no tax
mm-hmm.
is completely different,
right?
So what tools can you use? What professional can you knock at the door to be able to pay a lot less of your taxes?
Mm.
And now people will say, well, taxes are good. That's what makes our city run so well. Our road looks so sweet.
Mm.
And where are they saying that? Not Montreal.
No,
they didn't say it here.
Oh, sorry.
They didn't say that in Montreal.
They said the opposite. No, the complete opposite.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes, okay.
We're wondering where these tax dollars are going.
Right?
Thank you.
Mm. They're going to... No.
I'm okay.
Not going to get into it.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, good.
Mm-hmm. So basically, the I will have a mindset of being able to read and understand data, because mm-hmm. he has to invest in people, invest in things, invest in businesses. And to be able to invest, you need to be able to read, learn, know, and calculate your risk and know, okay, yeah, this, I like what he's doing. I'm putting money towards this project because I vetted it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, any quadrant you're in, you can be good, you can be bad,
right?
You can get better. But you have to ask yourself, what quadrant am I in to start with?
Right, yeah.
Right? So the investor's brain and mindset is what is going to make you say, you know what? These are the type of goals that fit with what I want to do, who I am,
mm-hmm.
what I want to do. Now, where does real estate come in?
Mm-hmm.
A E mindset, who's a real estate owner,
mm-hmm.
will not delegate. He'll change all the light bulbs himself.
Mm-hmm.
He will be an employee to any tenant he has.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Exchanging his time. He wants to be in control. He's tired. And he's not thinking of equity, future, strategy. What's the next move? Mm-hmm. He's just, man, please pay me this month so I can go about my business.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're on the other side and you're thinking big business or investors, that's when you're thinking, okay, how can I scale?
Mm-hmm.
What's my strategy? I want to free up my time.
Yeah.
Right? And this is the most important thing. And I also want to build wealth for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a great E, how much wealth could you leave being a great E?
Mm.
You can leave some.
Mm-hmm.
But how far does it go? Does it go two generation? Does it go Pharaoh the third? The fourth?
Right.
You know what? So, right?
Yep.
So these type of questions I came up with, this is the information I came up with after speaking with my mom and really being able to dig deep into what our plans are, and being a father of a wonderful, wonderful daughter, I was thinking, you know what? The next moves are for her, and it's for the future. So you're scaling, you're zooming out to be able to see the big picture.
Yeah.
So after that, I invested in my education at a place in a school called MREX.
MREX, okay.
I was extremely, extremely happy to go there.
Nice.
Because the information was overwhelming.
Okay.
I felt stupid. I felt like it was way too much. I felt like, whoa. But do you guys see those mountain goats that you see on a extremely steep mountain?
Right.
That are just like climbing, and they look so confident, like they're not going to slip. And they're just like climbing up and working. And there's something empowering being around a lot of other people that are, you think what they're doing is super dangerous. Like, man, how much did you put? How much did you borrow? What? Oh, man. This is a pure E mindset I'm having, because the E questions are coming up, like, where's the security?
Right. Wow.
So the mindset is always what drives the questions, and you always have to ask yourself, hey, who asked that question?
Right.
Is that the E?
Right.
Who was that? Is that an I? You always have to question.
Okay.
Where is it coming from, that question? After that, I mean, MREX taught me so much in terms of numbers, analyzing, meeting people, networking, knocking at the right door, understanding that you're not alone. You're not alone. And you can learn from a lot of people, other people's mistakes.
And sorry for cutting, just for clarity. Now, this school, is it, like, how do I make the comparison? Like, is it for people who want to become real estate agents? Or is it, because that's, I want to understand, like, you know what I mean? Like, are we talking a school for agents, or are we talking a school for investors?
This is a school for investors, specifically multi-family investors.
Nice. Okay. See, I didn't even know that existed. That's just to tell
that
you.
That's part.
It's that's like, what I love.
And like, there's all these institutions that you do, and then you're just like, oh, no, there's something. Like, you think about what type of business that possibly is when they create an institution
that's what
to
I'm
teach
saying.
You about that specifically. Right?
Rodney, thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, no. Right? Mm-hmm. So the main difference, because as an investor, you might want to be, you might not be able to start in multifamily.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's, how do you get in?
Right.
Once you're in, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get in is the main thing. So what do you want to do? Do you want to say, hey, listen, I will continue paying my condo until this, and I need a lot of money. I don't have the information. So you shy away from actually knocking at the door and asking, what can I do to actually come in here?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just from far saying, hey, this looks complicated. I might not have the money or the knowledge. So I'm just going to do what I do and stay with my security.
Mm-hmm. And hope for the best. Fingers crossed.
And hope for the best. Yeah. Right? So once you knock on the door and you notice, you're like, man, there's a lot of people that started where I started at different positions that are able to come in. And I'm so happy. I know now I have some type of blueprint and information to know how to actually jump in into multifamily.
All right.
Now, the main difference between residential and commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you learn about risk and risk factor and calculating risk, because the I mindset will calculate risk. Everything is, if you can put a number to risk, then the investor's super happy because he can calculate, yeah, this is risky, this, where am I putting my money, and what's the return and the future, what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the residential, a lot of people will tell you residential is a lot riskier, because if ever you have a duplex, and when I say residential is fourplex and down.
Okay. I was about to ask, like, when does it become commercial? And because when you say commercial in my head, I'm just like, okay, so are we talking about depanneurs and shops
and
stuff?
Yeah, okay, yes. Mm-hmm. Good to clarify that anything 5 and up is considered at the bank commercial. So whatever residential broker you spoke to, you're going to a different section of the bank. And the next door, where they do everything differently.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So how to transition from one side to another is great. Mm-hmm. Or you can actually not have nothing and still knock at the commercial just to learn.
Yep.
And then go back and say, okay, this is what I need to do.
Yep.
Now, the residential will be considered a lot riskier simply because if ever you have a triplex and one person doesn't pay you, it's one third of your mortgage that doesn't come in.
Mm-hmm.
You are almost forced into being an E
mm-hmm.
because the property doesn't generate enough money mm-hmm. to get you a little further than your investment. And right. when I say further, there's a lot of management. A lot of the stories we hear about real estate will be around the management, managing people, right? Mm-hmm. Something breaks, they call you. Issues popping up.
Mm-hmm.
You're so close to your investment. Right. You're the one being an E, mm-hmm. having to do certain things.
Yep.
When you jump into the commercial and you have enough generating assets,
mm-hmm.
then you hire a manager,
property manager. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever there's a shout out to Queen right here who actually told me this before. When there's enough work for a new position to be created,
mm-hmm.
think about not doing the job because right. it's a whole new job on its own.
Exactly right.
Right. So mm-hmm. you have to respect the job flow, the work that it creates,
mm-hmm.
and ask yourself, hey, do I want to be an E?
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay for me to start being an E and then transfer and trying to get enough money to pay off a manager to actually manage the property.
Right.
So now when you're looking at the risk calculation in the residential, it's a lot riskier and you grow slower.
Okay.
Right. But it's still a very good trampoline to jump in to a lot of things.
Right.
So the commercial side, what's super interesting is that the risk is reduced by the amount of people that you have. So if one person on a sixplex doesn't pay,
mm-hmm.
then it's 1/6 that doesn't pay. And most likely the extra of all the other five rents coming in
mm-hmm.
will cover part or fully the rent that's not coming in. So you're padded in a sense.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and I'm sure this is where you're going, and I'm looking at the time, so I know we're going to have to fast track a little bit. I remember the first time I heard this was, I got to give a shout out to my boy Max at Scotiabank, because we're working on, you know, some type of seeing how we could work together. And one of the things he had mentioned to me, I think he was the first person to bring this to me, and then you were the second, is the fact that in the eyes of the bank, when you are investing in these larger properties, they're not looking at you anymore. And that's a game changer for a lot of people within our community, unfortunately, because the fact that a lot of us, because of whatever mistakes we might have made coming up, our credit might not be the best. But when you're coming in as a commercial buyer, the bank is not even studying you. It's like, okay, they're now looking at your asset. They're looking at, okay, how large is your property? How much is your rent is going to generate? Mm-hmm. Like, guys, I'm telling you right now, for those who are listening, it is a game changer because a lot of us personally, or our credits, it won't allow us to become real estate investors. But if you could actually get to that echelon, so to speak, where you could actually become a commercial investor, mm-hmm. the game has changed for you completely.
But not to mention, and to jump in on that, and that's where sometimes you have to start off as that residential buyer, right? Like, mm-hmm. like I said, for me, 10 years ago when I purchased it with a different mindset. But then as I'm paying this mortgage for 10 years, there's this thing called equity that's mm-hmm. built on your home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's both on what you've been paying on your principal and what and the value that your home has increased on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have that equity and it's no longer the money that I saved up to pay that down payment for this one condo
mm-hmm.
is no longer my money from my e-job,
mm-hmm, right?
That I'm hard earning, putting my time and getting paid for. It's no longer that, because then the other thing that I was told
mm-hmm.
was anything that you need done in your home
mm-hmm.
should not come out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
It should come out of the equity of your home.
Mm-hmm.
So smart. You use that money to reinvest into that property, because if there's equity in your home, it means that if all else fails
mm-hmm.
and you turn around, you go back to the bank and you say, I want to sell that, nothing still comes out of your pocket right. at the end of the day.
Yes, yes. Very smart, good advice that you actually got. You said a key word, the word equity.
Mm-hmm.
People think cash flow. People are very cash flow driven, meaning, oh, how much are you getting extra mm-hmm. after your rent? oh, $300. $300? You bought a sixplex, mm-hmm. and you're only getting $300? Mm-hmm. And how much did you put in? Oh, yeah, $400,000? Mm-hmm. No, no. Just, I'll put it in crypto. not to knock crypto, right?
But yes.
But the risk is right. completely different.
Different, completely.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's really interesting about multifamily is the first thing is how the bank actually sees it. They mm-hmm. see it as a business. Mm-hmm. They calculate it differently. Mm-hmm. And the reason and the way they calculate it is how much revenue after expenses this property is generating. Mm. And according to the revenue, they will give a value to the property. Mm. So higher rents or higher